Hi. Welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, July 25th, 1996. In the fireside room this evening, our speaker is Susan Chernohoy. Today, she will be continuing her series on Water Washed, Spirit Born. Today's session number is 3 and is titled, Who Me? Candidacy in the ELCA. What is it? Let's listen in.
My name is Susan Chernohoy, and the title of this session is Water Washed, Spirit Born, Who Me? Gifted People Called to Serve. Emphasis is on Who Me? And so we're going to be exploring a lot about God's call in our life. We're going to take it very broadly at first, as there are those of us who have real clarity. But I think even those of us who have real clarity on what God has called us to do, it's always nice periodically in our lives to do an assessment. God continues to give us gifts, and sometimes we just go helter-skelter down the way that we perceive God having us be, and sometimes it's nice to stop and really look and see where we are. Now, I am Susan Chernohoy. I'm a pastor. I serve as assistant to the bishop in the St. Paul Area Synod. And one component of what my calling is in terms of word and sacrament ministry, it is really working with people discerning God's call in their lives. And so it's always delightful to do that, both as a pastor in a parish, as people came to me as confirmation students and high school students wanting to kind of figure out what God was doing in their lives. And then I do work with candidacy. I will, at the end of this, just give some specifics about what candidacy is all about in the church, just because it's kind of nice to know. I know that we aren't all in any way Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but do we? Are some of you involved in that in an ELCA congregation? Are some of you? Okay. All right. So, and for those of you in different denominations, it's kind of interesting how churches set themselves up to call their particular lay and ordained people to the roster. So anyway, water washed, spirit born, who me? And that's just really how things are. What I want to do is, I have shared with you this wonderful quote. For those of you who have been attending some of Larry Rasmussen's sessions in these last couple of weeks, he clearly sees a vision of nature as community. That is, a lot of different components that make up a community. And as you see this great quote by Buechner, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And I find this very communal in itself. It is to say that as we perceive what God's will is in our lives, it means we're connecting up somewhere, both with a sense of an internal call and with the world. It has a real service dimension to it. So, and I think, as Deanne just told me, some people think to answer God's call is to be miserable. And if, in fact, you're miserable, then, in fact, that must be the struggle that God is calling you to. I really disagree with that and would be much more with Buechner in saying that where there is a real joy and a sense of gladness and service, that, in fact, is where God would have us be. And it is when we begin to be in friction with that that we perceive maybe we need to assess what God is calling us to now. Well, the first part of what we're going to talk about now is just discernment. Many of you are doing things now. You may be very happy and contented and have a feeling that you are called there. But it's really important, I think, every day of our lives to continue to say, is this what God would have me do? I mean, that is, I think it's a real baptismal cry each day as we wake up. God, what would you have me do with this day? And then with my life for the next month. But how do we perceive God's will in our life? How do we do it? It's very confusing. And I think what I'm going to say, you're going to say, well, I thought of that and I'm doing that. But I think it's always good to say, one is simply to pray that God would give you some clarity. just prayer, however that be in your life, if it be to write journal style, if it be to go quietly, or to actually say, God, I want you to give me clarity. That's where I was in the last year of my own life. How come there is no clarity in my life? I want God to say where I need to go. And then a pastor friend of mine said, sometimes perceiving God's will means that it is to enter into grayness. And so we can pray all we want to for clarity, but sometimes it's just a step of faith, and then somehow God is going to bless it. And this pastor said, sometimes when people are so clear about what they are to do, it is when I am most suspicious. So there you have it. But I think prayer is really good to invite God into this discernment. Also, we perceive, even in our theme, that the Holy Spirit is at work in community. And so I think another thing is, you have friends, you have family, and to ask them to be in conversation with you. Where do you perceive me or see me going? And that they need to be able to have a critique of you. But I think to invite others into the discussion of what God would have you do. Use the community that God has given to you, your neighbors, those that don't even know you well. That may be a good one to say, I need to help you, have you help me discern what God is doing in my life. Then I think some of us would say, oh, I just don't have any gifts. I don't know. I kind of do this well and I kind of do that. But I think it's more important to say, God has gifted us in the waters of baptism. We are already given skills and gifts. And so the question is not, do I have gifts? But the question rather is, what gifts do you bring? And it is perceiving what already is there, what was given to you by the Holy Spirit in baptism, through your education, through your family, through your community. And so we're going to take some time tonight and just simply begin to perceive what those gifts are. Not, do I have any, but what gifts do I bring into my life? Now, I'm going to be rather churchly about this, and because we are talking about God and the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And there's a sense in which the church is called to be the bearer of a vision. And that is a vision into society. The church carries into society the witness that there is an authentic hope and life. That's what the church is called to do. We are visionaries. We are those who bear a word of life and hope into community. Now, again, it goes without saying that when we say the church is called to be a bearer of the vision, well, buildings don't do that. People do. And so that is where we're struggling with, God, what would you have me do? It is we, as a collective group of people, are those who bear that vision of hope into the world. It isn't just pastors, God forbid that. It is all of us together who have been given this common calling to bear a word of hope into the community. The basis for all that we do, if it is working here in garbology, or if it's working here in the kitchen or housekeeping or lawn and grounds, or being guests or whatever we do, the basis for all that we do first came in Jesus Christ. I mean, there's a sense in which the cross and resurrection is central. The Creator, the release of the Holy Spirit, this is what has created what we do. This is the basis for all that we do. But our ministry begins with the call into the kingdom and baptism. We have been those whom God has called, washed with water, and then sent us out. Even at the very moment of baptism, we recognize that this child has a vocation, has a call. I mean, I am very moved to see babies and to recognize that even there's a sense that they have been called into a ministry. And it is our job as a community, as it is with each one of you here, to help them discern their call. Whether they be 1 month old, or 18 or 25 or 65. All forms of ministry, all forms, no matter what it takes, if it's teaching or plumbing or waiting tables or working in a factory, all forms of ministry, whatever it is you do in this room, is an extension of Christ's ministry in the world. And so I think there's a certain sense in which all that we do in some way represents to the world the hope, the cross and the resurrection. And so God's ministry, the ministry of the gospel, is entrusted to all believers. Again, Robin Madison is talking about believers and full believers, so it really works with what she's teaching with Luke and Acts in these last couple of weeks. But the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is entrusted to us, the ones who have been gathered here. And so I think it's exciting to recognize that we are gifted people. It's also challenging to figure out what in the heck God has called us to do. And what I would like us to do in a few minutes, and again, if you want to challenge something, I invite discussion at any time, if I haven't been clear. but what I'd like us to do is to break into groups of four or five, I mean, whatever is natural around here, and to in some way talk about what you do in your daily life, whatever it may be, and how this may witness or tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. How does what you do bear witness to Jesus Christ, whatever it is that you do? And it's okay to say, I don't know. I mean, I have no clue. So if you could just break off into little groups and talk about what you're doing now and how that may bear witness to Jesus Christ. Well, if you didn't get all the way around, I think it's good to, maybe you'll have time later. I didn't ask you to have a speaker, but did any of you have any surprises as you struggled with this question or anything you'd like to share with the group?
Well, Gloria and I were just talking about both of us have changed careers as adults and to some degree still trying to, we've decided it's a process of you really do figure it out as you go along. And I think for me it was a process of learning more, continuing to identify gifts over a period of time.
Other surprises. Yeah.
Just a question. Which voices do you listen to, you know, when you're getting calls? Especially if you have a lot and that are conflicting.
Yeah. Can you say more? Like what?
Well, if you're hearing one, if you're feeling called to do something, and I think everybody can relate to this, when you get your call from the church volunteer recruiter, and part of you is saying, yes, you know, you've been waiting all your life to do this, you'd be really good at it, they really need you, and then the other part of you is going, you know, no, you're overloaded, you know, say no. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that I found myself in that situation.
Yeah.
But surely there's a difference between a telephone call and a real sense of discernment.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And it may be that those calls are part of that discernment to say no. I mean, that is not. One of the things that I had a discovery just as I was sharing and meeting this family over here. I can't imagine doing it in my family sharing these things. But, I mean, all together and then suddenly you're with people you're familiar with. But one of the things that I realized in this is that I have a number of calls. And, you know, in terms of what do I do to witness to Jesus Christ, and as a pastor, there's a sense in which that's what I just do. But what I wanted to concentrate more on is what I do in my relationships, in terms of my marriage, in terms of race. I mean, that is more, which was very interesting to me, and I don't know if any of you had that, that suddenly I was going into all different levels, not necessarily where I have this public call, whether it be to be a pastor, an attorney, or a teacher. But in fact, I took it down to a different place. I was not where I thought I would be, and I wanted to take more time there. That was kind of a surprise to me. I don't know if any of the rest of you had that, but let's go on and get back to this quote. I mean, as we move on, and we talked about the fact that it isn't if we have gifts, but what gifts do we have? And I think it's important if you're 16 or 18 to recognize you don't wait for the gifts to come, but in fact, it's there already. And so if it is to take this into your classroom or into wherever you're going, I think it's important to say that we already have gifts and skills that have come to us. Again, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And then I think we also have scripture that talks about, you did not choose me, I chose you. Now that's a very startling thing to recognize, that what we're talking about is God's doing, that God has chosen us to do multiple things, as we've talked about. I mean, if it is to volunteer at church, and if it really doesn't feel great, it is, that's not your call right now. I mean, you may feel an obligation, or they may guilt you into it, but, you know, and yet I've seen people where it is the time, and they say, this is what I have been waiting for. I mean, there's been a void. My mother would be one that is always having voids, and then suddenly a voice comes, and then she's full. I mean, it's exactly what she was looking for. But I did. You did not choose me, I chose you. And to recognize that no matter what it is, we are chosen, and so we're about discerning what it is that God wants us to do. Some of you, as I said, may have some real clarity about your call, and some of you may have some unclearness and lack of clarity and confusion, and it just bugs you. So that's the point I would like to go to now. And I would like to have you do something individually. I have scratch paper if you don't have notebook paper. First of all, what I'd like you to do is just take some time and reflect on some key events or people or experiences which have shaped who you are right at this minute. What are some key events, people, experience which has shaped who you are now? And as you reflect on that, is there any time when you have been particularly aware of the presence of God in the midst of that? First, do the easy. Some events, people, experiences which have shaped who you are. So we're talking a little bit about the gifts, the people who have shaped us, the experiences that have shaped us. And then if you'd like to jot down or star those areas or add things where you have been particularly aware that God has been there in the ordinary times, in the painful or joyous times, perhaps some of those that you've already listed. And then some of you, we're all different ages, which I think is great. And even though you may be younger than older, or older than younger, I would like you to think about accomplishments that have filled you with a sense of joy. I mean, anything that you've done that has really filled you with a sense of joy, achievement, or growth. I mean, what have you done or accomplished that has really given you a sense of achievement or joy? And in parentheses, I say, whether anybody else has noticed it or not. It doesn't have to be publicly noticed. And don't limit yourself. If it's been in your leisure time, personal relationships, school, church, work, community. And if it's helpful, I mean, we're really doing some sort of a discernment here of call. If it would be helpful to actually list what it was that you did. I mean, it's kind of a doing thing that we're talking about. What did you do in each of these activities? What specific skills or gifts were required to do whatever you did that gave you that sense of joy? Place where there was deep gladness and world's hunger meeting, and there was joy.
This is getting real complicated.
Is it?
the birth of my children is one of my great joys. Now you're asking me what I did to accomplish that.
I'm sure that was a great joy too. I guess it doesn't work in all situations. Now, we're going quickly. I mean, you can't really discern God's will in an hour, but I think that this is... But who knows? Somebody here may just have a click and an aha, and you know. What I would like you to do is, and I'm sure you've been kind of reflecting here, that as you've... we've had to share that maybe it doesn't work in all situations of those moments of joy, but to just look back on what you've written, I mean, we're discerning a call. It's different than just a job, but a call. There's that connection with the world and with yourself and with the Holy Spirit. But in what you've written, look for patterns or trends, surprises, any abilities that may emerge, gifts and skills. And remember that we're talking theologically here, that gifts are given for the common good. That is, those skills that you've labeled, we don't need to hesitate to say that they have been given to us. And that gifts are given for the common good and somehow to the glory of God through what it is that we are doing. What I'd like you to do is now not turn in your big groups, because it takes some time to get all the way around, but maybe, and if it's in a family and you feel uncomfortable with the family, let's just do it in twos and to share some of your insights. Again, discernment, sometimes we need others, and you don't have to do a lot of that, but just share some of the things that you've learned, just as you've thought about some of the things that you've accomplished or those influences on your life. So with just one other person, kind of share some of those things. See if you have any patterns or trends or surprises, discoveries. Now we have a few minutes to... You know, we have been talking about the ministry of the gospel that has been entrusted to us as the church, that we are gifted people, that God calls into particular places, and we've also talked about the fact that many of us have multiple calls, passions, places where we have deep gladness and we can work with the deep hunger of the world, and there we are. Anything you want to share with the whole group? Yeah, Steve.
I'd like to share, it was a common thing. We came from very different places, but it was both of us decided that our greatest loves, gifts, etc., were all relational. That God called us into relationship with other people, you know. And these were our you know, raised the fence, and love was, you know, all that. It was all relational.
Anyone else have that kind of other things that you learned? Or
well, I noticed when you're a Christian, which doesn't mind if I share it. So, because one of the things that came up was this feeling that you have to choose, and by choosing something, then you're eliminating other choices, which I remember feeling when I was her age, but I still feel now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But what I was thinking of advice to give her, and which I then learned should be my own advice,
whoops,
is that, you know, you, in Ecclesiastes, you know, there's a time for every purpose, and whatever the time is right to do now, you do that thing, and they'll, you know, if you're, there'll be a time later, there's always more time to do the next thing. Mm-hmm. Even if you're, you know, you think you're over the hill, there's still another hill. There's always more mm-hmm. places to climb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you say no to something, that has a definite sense in which this is God's world and I have closed a door. And what if? And
some things made me think about is sometimes we have an idea that everybody has like a vocation within themselves that's going to unfold.
Yes.
And maybe that's true.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of place in mutuality for us to help the other person or to call that out of the other person. Say, have you considered this?
Yes.
I see that in you.
Yes.
That we're kind of in a mode of hands off. I want you to develop and be who you are.
Right.
And, you know, some of us can do that as teachers or helping professions, but also as just in friendships.
Right.
And to call the gifts out of the other person when they might not realize that. I mean, we do this in mutuality. It's not just sitting here waiting for it to sprout.
That's right. That's right. That's how I view marriage, too. And all the witnesses. It's like, enter into the lives of these people. You know, it's part of a community. It isn't just the two. And it's not invasion. It's rather recognizing the spirit in community that can call out. It isn't just, yes, thank you. Other things?
Well, I don't know if it's skill, but the first thing I listed under the skills needed to accomplish the things that I did in my life so far is a trust in God. Because it was truly, when I look back at what I've done, I couldn't have done it except that He kept stretching me mm-hmm. into things that no way that I think I could do them. Mm-hmm. But He didn't screw me.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I just went on this wicked, crazy hike 4 days ago.
Oh.
And this is all, I mean, that hike did everything that we're all talking about. In
is that?
12 uh-huh. hours.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The mountains were speaking to you, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every step I took, I kept saying, I can't go further. Here.
Yes, you are.
It did. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, in terms of clarity, it comes along a trail. I mean, there's a sense in which we believe that there's God's involvement in creation, you're saying, in community, that calls us and clarifies things. And then it takes the boldness to respond, the courage to then take that. And I think this trust in God and this journey that you took, I did talk about you, Deanne, and how we often say that calls mean that if we're miserable, then that's a true calling from God. And I hope that Buechner took that away and said that perhaps it could be joy-filled. Other people say it. But it was in a conversation with Deanne.
Yeah.
But I want to also share with you a couple of quotations as we continue to discern. One is by a bishop who said, invites, Do not pray for easy lives. I don't think. Pray to be stronger persons. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but pray for powers equal to your task. I think it really says something to all of us that there's a certain challenge as we enter into this sense of the common good, and we may feel it's too much for us, but that we pray for powers equal to the tasks that have been presented to us in whatever vocation that may be. As we also think about callings, I give this quote from a 97-year-old pastor who is reflecting or asked to reflect on 70 years of ordained ministry. And I would pray that this could be my quote at 97. If I had my life to live over again, I would. And I think that is a sense in which, and I'm sure there were valleys, I mean, there were highs and lows, but if I had my life to live over again, I would. There's a sense in which there's been a relationship. And he has responded faithfully. He could just as well be somebody who has served 70 years as something else, or parents can certainly do that, and teachers, and all different kinds of things. If I had my life to live over again, I would. But let's get back to where we began, and that is the fact that water washed, we are spirit born into vocation and call. The ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been entrusted to us all. But for the sake of this particular ministry, that is the ministry of the baptized, God has also instituted the office of ministry. And so for those of us who have been called into a particular form of ministry, our ministry is to empower all of you who aren't pastors. It is for the sake of the ministry of the baptized, the ministry of the factory workers and the plumbers and the people who serve us at table and the people who help us get gas into our darn cars and all of those kinds of things. But God has given a particular calling, and so all of us have been given the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of us have that common call, but for the sake of your ministries that are here, God has given a particular form of that in the ministry of word and sacrament, so that you can be equipped and supported in your ministry, whatever it is, whatever calling. And so we have the ministry of word and sacrament. Some of you may have seen that I was also going to talk about candidacy. Now, is that clear what I just said? That all of us share, whether it's Lutheran or Catholic or Methodist, and I'm not going to debate that, but I'm going to assume that in some form, all of us have been entrusted with the ministry of the gospel, whether it be an attorney or a student or a teacher. That has been, and for the sake of all of this grand scheme, there's a particular calling in the church, and that is to support you, and that is the ministry of word and sacrament. And so, some of you may have perceived, I feel called to do this, to support everybody out there in their daily callings. And so, in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we have a process of discernment called candidacy. I want to, and that is those who feel called now. They've done all of the discernment activity that you have. They've prayed. Somebody has said, you know, I think you'd be a good pastor, or I think you'd be a good deaconess, or I think you would be an excellent associate in ministry in music or education. I really think that I see that that's what you can do. These have been developed to support the ministry of all the baptized. And so we have a candidacy process. Some of you may have discerned that. In the ELCA, we have synods, and we have 65 of them. Within those synods, they all have candidacy committees, that is lay and clergy people, who many of whom feel called to serve on this discernment committee. And they work with people who feel called to ordained or lay rostered ministries in the church. It actually happens, you need to be lifted up from your congregation. your congregational home. And so congregations have this calling to lift up all forms of ministry, but also those they see gifted to be pastors or associates of ministries, deaconesses, or diaconal ministers. And so they lift up and present to this committee candidates, a person who's perceived they're called, and a congregation who says, I concur. I see that this one seems to have the gifts for this particular ministry. The first thing you do is contact, well, you probably worked with your pastor, your campus pastor, or a Bible camp counselor, or wherever, and so you come before the candidacy committee, a small panel, for what is called an entrance time. And so you've had an initial interview with a member of that candidacy committee. That goes, then you do an entrance panel with three people who simply ask questions to see, to perceive with you if you are ready to begin the process of discernment and candidacy. And so, is there faith in Jesus Christ? Do they have some knowledge of Scripture, traditions of the church? Have they been participated in congregational life over the last year? And so then there is this, hopefully, a joyous discernment that, yes, it's true to the Holy Spirit and to you. And so off they go to a seminary, a div school, wherever it is that they begin their studies. Associates of ministry, it could take place in the congregation. After about a year or so, they come back. Remember, you have an internal call, a sense that this is really what I perceive, and you have that external call. The church is saying, yep, yep. So you come back, and there's an essay that you produce. You work with your faculty and the committee, and it used to be called matriculation. Now it's endorsement. And again, the committee prayerfully, with the Holy Spirit, discerns that this candidate is ready to continue again. And so they continue. They do clinical pastoral education. They spend some time in a congregation and an internship. And then they meet again with that committee, which is really functioning as the whole ELCA, as we're lifting up leaders for the church. And then in their senior year, the final year of whatever they're completing, they meet again with a panel. To again present themselves in the essay, to reflect on God's calling in their life, again to discern, is this good to the Holy Spirit and to us? And again, you would expect them to say yes, or maybe wait a minute, but generally you would like them to say yes. After this time, we perceive with the Holy Spirit that it is good, and at that point then they are then sent to all of the bishops who begin to assign them. Because of their particular gifts and skills, which you were discerning here, and that there's a congregation in Wenatchee, Washington, that is looking for somebody. And so there is a very spirit-filled, prayerful decision that we would like to have five candidates come to Southwest Washington, or Metro New York, or Florida Bahamas. Maybe your call is to serve that ELCA congregation in the Bahamas. Who knows? Or maybe Puerto Rico. We have a synod where they answer the phone in Spanish. I find that marvelous. And perhaps that is where. And again, that call finally is not confirmed until that letter of call comes from a congregation generally, or a ministry. And then finally we see that after all of this discernment process, it doesn't happen in an hour at Holden Village on a Thursday night. Maybe it did, but generally the process takes much longer. And then it is that they are ordained or consecrated or commissioned, and then the congregation or ministry then welcomes them, and there's a sense in which this finally confirms. And it could be that you finally get a job after you've done medical school, or you've done technical school, or whatever. But in the church, it happens in that way. And so that is those people who are called to empower, equip, and to serve all of the others who have been called into particular ministries in the kingdom. Hey, it's 20 after 7. So that's brief. I did say I was going to talk a little bit about candidacy, but that's a particular calling, but that's just simply there to empower you and encourage you. Questions?
Yes.
Yeah. questions or? I did take some of the questions and the little process, not the little process, the process that I shared with you from this book, Discerning God's Call to Ministry, What Shall I Say? The Augsburg Fortress, the ELCA, has produced this to really help people with their discernment. It has chapter after chapter with questions, and you find somebody that's going to work with you. Pastors are also called to assist you in calls into other vocations. And so if you would like to have a pastor or somebody else, but this is where I took some of what I shared with you from. And I think these are interesting and controversial documents. We do have visions and expectations of what we expect of our pastors and lay people. This may be of interest to you. And at the end of 4 years at their approval time, candidates for ordained or lay rostered ministries are asked if they intend to comply with what is in these booklets. I'm sure they're here in the resource room or whatever. But that's another component of what we are. But again, I find it exciting. I'm here until Saturday. If some of you have some, would like to talk with somebody about clarifying some things or maybe some of what you did, and I would be here as a resource to you. But it's exciting to discern God's call in our lives. So thanks for being here tonight.